genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
So my next guest has looked at radio from a number of different positions and has come to some interesting conclusions. Bill Press is an American talk radio host. He's a political commentator and he's an author. Press started his broadcasting career right here in Los Angeles for television on KABC-TV and KCOP-TV. He's worked with political commentators as for CNN and as MSNBC. He's best known for co-hosting CNN's Spin Room opposite Tucker Carlson and Crossfire and MSNBC's Buchanan and Press. Since May 2005, he's been a contributing blogger to the Huffington Post. Press has also contributed blogs online to a number of Washington, D.C.'s nonpartisan newspaper, The Hill. Press was the chair of the California Democratic Party from 1993 to 1996, and he served in different appointed positions, such as chief of staff to California State Senator Peter Baer, a Republican, and director of the California Office of Planning and Research for Governor Jerry Brown. Since September 2005, Bill Press has been hosting a daily liberal talk radio program that is broadcast nationwide from 6 to 9 a.m. on Dial Global Radio. Welcome to the show, Bill Press.
Billy, how are you?
I am terrific, and thank you so much. It's great to have you. It's our pleasure to have you there. So I'm going to start out this segment with the same question I asked our first two guests, Fred Thompson and Holland Cook, and that question is, what is the state of talk radio today in America?
I think the state of talk radio today is in excellent shape. I think the best days of talk radio may, in fact, be ahead of us because talk radio is booming. People are more and more interested, I think, in issues and talking about issues. Where they do so is on talk radio, number one. And number two, as fewer and fewer people go to radio now for music, they used to turn the radio on to listen to music. Now they, you know, have their iPod.
Exactly.
Stations are looking for new format, and the best format that works, you know, other than music, is talk radio. So I think we're going to hear more and more talk radio.
Interesting observation. Now, Bill, you are also the author of a brand new book, Toxic Talk: How the Radical Right Has Poisoned America's Airwaves. I've read your book because I'm interested in radio, but also because it's a good read. In the book, you bring out some fascinating and sometimes disturbing statistics that from a survey in 2007, you found that 91% of the total weekday talk radio programming is conservative. Only 9% is progressive. Now, in the big cities like Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, it's a little bit different. It's 76% conservative and 24% progressive.
Yeah.
And so the question is, how did the conservatives get such a strong foothold in AM talk radio today?
They were very smart the way they went about it. Very quickly, it did three things. One is that way back in the 70s, Richard Nixon actually commissioned a guy by the name of Lewis Powell. A year later, he appointed him to the Supreme Court. At that time, he was just an attorney here in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hey, let's lay out a roadmap for how conservative we're going to build a strong conservative movement in this country. One of the things Lewis Powell recommended, which they did, is they went out, raised a lot of money, created conservative think tanks, and from the think tanks, they created a conservative media operation, meaning they bought stations, they formed networks, they recruited talent, they trained the talent. They fed the talking machines from the think tanks to the radio talk show hosts, and they're still doing it today. In 1987, Ronald Reagan said, there's too much regulation on radio. We should get rid of something called the Fairness Doctrine, which required every station to have a mix of voices, right? Didn't mean you had to have a conservative sitting alongside of every liberal, but during the day, you had to hear basically a mix of views on issues. rather than just all one-sided.
Right. Sort of like in 60 Minutes back in the day, they had point-counterpoint. You had two opposing views.
No, I don't mean that. I mean as part of the same show. I'm saying, like, if you had a progressive, you know, a liberal in the morning drive, maybe you would have, followed by a conservative host who would have 3 hours, right? Or maybe later in the day you'd get a libertarian, you know. So if you listened all day long, you'd hear a variety of views about the issues of the day.
Okay, very good.
And the next year, 1988, with that restriction lifted, Rush Limbaugh arrived on the scene, a huge talent, very, very successful radio talk show host nationally, with a great show, and took off like a rocket. And these stations now, I say unencumbered by the Fairness Doctrine, just said, oh, man, here's where we want to go, and we can make a lot of money, and they did. And then thirdly, Bill Clinton signed something called the Telecommunications Act, which said a conservative radio company like Clear Channel, right, or, for example, or Citadel, could come into a market and buy up to 8 different stations in one market, so they could really get a monopoly on all the radio stations in a given area, and again squeezed out progressive talk. So now you turn the dial around the country, you'll hear 9 hours of progressive talk the opposite, right?
Yeah, 9 hours for every 1 hour of progressive. Yeah. 9 hours of conservative for every one of progressive.
Yeah. Right.
An awesome statistic. So really, this was not a perfect storm because it didn't happen one right after the other, but this was the alignment of three things. The Telecom Act of 1996, President Bill Clinton resolving that. 1970s, a historical fact, Lewis Powell's memo, and what they did, the conservatives did, to be able to put this together. And then, of course, the 1987 FCC fairness doctrine going apart. Now, I have to ask you, though, you know, we want to follow the money a little bit here on brainstorming with Billy the Brain. So, Bill Press, tell me exactly, how is it, you know, the conservatives had a game plan. You can't really fault them if they have a game plan, they follow the game plan, and it leads to success.
No. I don't fault them. I don't fault them for their game plan. You've read the book. You know, my big conclusion at the end in terms of how to fix it is, first of all, I do think that the FCC should enforce the existing law. The existing law says, if you have a license to operate on the public airwaves, okay, and these are, that's important phrase, these are public airwaves. You and I own these airwaves.
Right.
And the companies get a license to operate them for free. If they've got that license, the existing law says they have to operate, quote, in the public interest. I would argue, I think a strong argument could be made, they're not operating in the public interest if they're all right or all left, right? And then the other thing is, I fault the liberals for not doing what the conservatives did. That, you know, I have talked to rich liberals until I'm blue in the face and said, hey, we're behind the eight ball here. You ought to go out. Come on. Go out, buy some stations. There are stations available. Form your own network and provide a platform for more progressive voices. They've never done that. So,
but isn't the crux of that decision that there's no money to be made right now in radio?
That's the case, because where progressive radio has been, I mean, Chesterton once said that Christianity hasn't been tried and found wanting. It simply hasn't been tried. I would make that analogy to progressive talk radio. In many, many, many markets, progressive radio has not failed. It simply hasn't been given a chance to air. And where it has, and you can go around the dial, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Chicago, Buffalo, New York, Miami, Minneapolis, St. Paul, a progressive radio is thriving, holding its own, making money, and competing and competitive with, some, in some cases, actually beating people like Rush or Sean Hannity head-to-head.
Ah, great. We're talking to Bill Press, everybody. He's the author of a book, Toxic Talk, How the Radical Right Has Poisoned America's Airwaves. He's also a talker, just like Billy the Brain, and he's got some very interesting points of view. And I want to tease the audience, Bill, when we come back. We want to start out with, in your book, you write, no doubt about it, talk radio is the most powerful force in the media today. What do you mean by that? So don't answer it now. We'll answer that when we come back after this short break. Thanks.
Now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Billy the Brain. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, and we have a very interesting guest. His name is Bill Press. He is the author of the book, Toxic Talk, How the Radical Right Has Poisoned America's Airwaves. But more importantly, he's a talker like myself, been on the airwaves for a number of years, even down in Los Angeles when he was working at TV station KABC. You may have heard of them. And in the book, Bill, you write, no doubt about it, talk radio is the most powerful force in the media today. What do you mean by that?
Just look around. I mean, there are more people who listen to talk radio every day than read the morning newspaper. There are more people who listen to talk radio every day than watch the network news. There are more people who listen to talk radio every day than watch the cable shows at night, even though they may get a lot of make a lot of noise, right? In terms of numbers of viewers,
mm-hmm.
many, many more listeners to talk radio than there are watching Fox or MSNBC. In fact, more than watch Fox, NBC, MSNBC, and CNN combined. So that's huge. And if you look at the impact, I mean, Glenn Beck alone was able to get two members of Barack Obama's White House fired. Talk show host in Los Angeles, Latino talk show host, were able to get 1 million people in the streets to call for immigration reform. You know, they've demonstrated, I guess we should say, we have demonstrated our power.
Well, that's interesting, because paramount to that whole discussion is that people don't have a mind of their own, that they can't make up their own mind on the issues. They listen to these people, and that they almost blindly act according to what they say. And I'm not just talking about citizens, although citizens are certainly part of it, but also you make the point in the book about politicians, and you mentioned a couple of President Barack Obama's White House staffers getting fired. It's almost as though you're saying in the book that what's said on talk radio is influencing our national policy.
There's no doubt about it. In fact, I would say particularly on the right, talk radio is driving our national policy. I mean, you know, if somebody asks me who's the head of the Republican Party today, it's not Michael Steele, it's not John McCain, it's not John Boehner, it's not Mitch McConnell. I mean, I think it's Rush Limbaugh or maybe Glenn Beck.
Well, now, is that so much a statement about how strong talk radio is or how fragmented the Republican Party is?
Both. But remember, back in the debate over immigration reform, for example, where George Bush had his plan, he was president, Trent Lott was head of the Senate, and John McCain was supporting, all these senators were supporting George Bush's immigration plan, which, by the way, was a pretty good plan, I thought. I supported it at the time as a liberal.
Mm-hmm.
And it went down in flames because the talk radio host, Rush and Sean Hannity and Michael Savage, all of them got out there and railed against it, and Trent Lott publicly said, the talk radio is ruling American politics today, basically.
He blamed
it all on talk radio.
Oh, my gosh, and we're all to blame for that. We're talking to Bill Press, everybody, author of the book Toxic Talk. Now, Bill, something I like to do with my guests.
Billy, one question.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I remember when it used to be different. I remember when, and I've been doing this talk radio a long time, right? You know, the radio talk show hosts will listen to what the politicians were saying in Washington, and then they would decide what they're going to talk about that day, because Washington would set the agenda. Today it's just the opposite. I'm convinced that John Boehner and Mitch McConnell listen to talk radio, and then they decide what issues they're going to and what they're going to push and what positions they're going to take in the Congress.
Wow. All right. Now, that's an interesting point of view. I want to switch gears, though, a little bit, Bill, if we can, and do something I did with my guest called a quick fire. I'm just going to give you a name, somebody from your book, and I want you to give me your top-of-mind impressions on that. And leading the list, somebody you've already talked about, Rush Limbaugh.
The most talented person on radio, the king of talk radio, and you can't take that away from him. At the same time, I think he has a real problem with women, a real problem with gays and lesbians, and a real problem with people of color. Anybody who would say that Barack Obama is president today only because he's a black man, I think just doesn't appreciate the gifts that this man has. Agree with him or not on the issues, he's one of the smartest people ever in the White House.
All right. That's fair and balanced, if you'll pardon that phrase. Fair and balanced approach to it.
God forbid.
let me give you another name, Stephanie Miller.
I think Stephanie Miller is, she's a good friend, probably the funniest person on the radio. I worked with her at KFI in Los Angeles years ago, and still we've remained friends. But she's not only funny, she's very smart, very informed, very talented, and a committed liberal.
Okay. Glenn Beck.
I watch Glenn Beck for the same reason I watch the Indianapolis 500, because I think sooner or later one of those cars is going to hit the wall And I think one of these days Glenn Beck is going to hit the wall. I think the guy is border schizophrenic. He's certainly paranoid. I mean, he really does believe that there's a liberal conspiracy to turn this country into a communist dictatorship, and I think he's just way off base.
And for those listeners who want to call in, the number here is 639-0008, 639-0008. All right, let me throw another name out at you, Bill Press, author of the book Toxic Talk, and that name is Tom Hartman.
Tom Hartman is the professor of Progressive Talk Radio, based up in Portland, Oregon, very, very smart. I had dinner with him last week. He told me he has 21 books in print.
Wow.
Which says something about Tom Hartman's brain and work ethic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity, as I say in the book, I call him basically a mouthpiece for the Republican Party, more than anybody else. And the thing, you know, you'll hear Rush take on the Republicans. Sean Hannity is just talking points, straight talking points. He is I think, a frustrated Rush wannabe. He's always wanted to be as big as Rush. He never will be. Glenn Beck might be. Sean Hannity never will be.
All right. And last on my list, Bill Press.
Ha! The most talented person on talk radio today.
And that's an unbiased opinion from Bill Press himself.
Let me just say, I've just had a good run, a great one for Rich. I'm very grateful. And it started in Southern California on KABC. And then I moved over to KCOP. I was on KBC Radio there and KFI Radio, and then propelled from there to CNN and MSNBC and my national radio show. And I'm just grateful to have that opportunity and grateful to all the people that stuck with me all those years.
Well said, well said. We're talking to Bill Press, everybody, author of the book Toxic Talk. I read it from cover to cover, Bill. I have to say I enjoyed it. I will also say that I didn't agree with everything that's in it. I will love to have you back at some other point so we can debate it. But before we go, we've only got a couple of minutes left. I need you to dispel the three big myths against progressive radio. Number one on the list is the listeners don't want progressive talk radio. Fred Thompson was my guest, but just immediately before you, and he said the dogs aren't eating the dog food. What do you say to that?
Well, again, the dogs won't eat the dog food if you don't put the plate down there, right? Fred doesn't know what he's talking about. I guess I'll just say it flat out. Doesn't have any idea what he's talking about. I can give you, and in the book, there are example after example after example of very successive progressive talk radio shows in markets that are not necessarily liberal bastions, you know, like Berkeley, California. But the problem is, and here's another number, right? Out of roughly 2,000 news talk stations in this country, there are only 60 that are progressive stations. All the rest are right-wing talk all the time.
Okay. Let me ask you this. One of the other big myths is that abolishing the fairness doctrine was the root cause of all of this, and conservatives will say that if you try to reinstitute the fairness doctrine, that it's really suppression of our First Amendment rights.
Well, they're wrong on that. Nobody wants, at least, I don't know if anybody who's calling for, you know, changing the First Amendment or kicking anybody off the air. And I'm not calling for bringing back the fairness doctrine either, because something that worked in 1987 is not going to work in 2010. With all the new media today, you know, how do you enforce it? It'd be like bringing back black and white television. All I'm saying is, let's enforce the existing law. You own a radio station, you have to operate it in the public interest.
Okay.
This country is not a 90%, not a 90% conservative country. So our talk radio, which reflects our politics, should not be 90% right wing.
Oh no, that's a very good point. All right, last on the three big myths against progressive radio is progressives can't talk the talk.
You listen to Tom Hartman, you listen to Ed Schultz, you listen to Randy Rhodes or Mike Malloy or Bill Press. We can talk. Just give us a microphone. We can talk.
That is true. Well, now let me ask you this. The Republicans and the conservatives did a very good job of staking out the airwaves. Can't the progressives move to the Internet and really lay their claim on the Internet where it's virgin territory?
Well, I think they've made great inroads in the Internet. You know, look at Huffington Post, for example, right?
A great example.
Look at Crooks and Liars, you know, look at Smoking Gun and MoveOn.org and Daily Coast, right? Not the conservatives are not present, too, with Daily Caller and some of those other sites. So the new media is fertile territory for both liberals and conservatives, and liberals, I think, actually have an advantage there.
Absolutely, they do. We're talking to Bill Press, everybody, author of the book Toxic Talk.
And Billy, you know, the other thing is, and I just want to make this point quickly, is,
sure.
is I love talk radio so much, and that's why I felt compelled to write this book, because what pains me is to hear so many voices, especially on the right, not exclusively, really use the airwaves to just pour poison. That's why the title of the book, How They Poisoned the Airwaves. And, you know, I spent 6 good years on CNN debating Crossfire, Pat Buchanan, Bob Novak, Mary Madeline, the best of the best, right?
Right.
We never got personal, never got ugly, never got into name-calling, but that's all you hear from some people on the right, Mark Levin, Michael Savage, and I think it degrades political discourse in this country, and I wish it would change.
All right. That's Bill Press, everybody. Bill, I'll have you back on because I do want to debate those with you. We've got to call it to an end now.